Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckanize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, 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 all of our fans with Redneckanize. This is Tiffany with Women of Redneckanize on our Unplugged Radio Network. It is Wednesday, December 7th. It is 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and it is 30 degrees here in Ohio. Kind of, you know, it's been drizzling rain all day today. I mean, my thing here on my computer says 30, but I don't think it's actually that. I think it's in the 50s, to be honest with you. But today is Pearl Harbor Day. You know, that's just one of the many things that's going on today in the world, you know, with everything else. So it's always interesting here. And as a lot of you guys know that, you know, we had a dear friend that lived with us for a couple years that I took care of, Donna, and today would actually have been her 76th birthday. So, okay. Now, off of the subject of depressing days, let's get into everything trucking. Now, you know, we've been talking about for a while now the different things that we do for the holidays. And since, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it seems like, you know, there is so much always going on for everybody. So that is kind of why I am, you know, just keeping everything light and easy and just, you know, fun. Because for us around here, it's getting more interesting, I guess I should say. Because of the fact now we have a grandson. He's, you know, of course, he's only going on 3 months. He'll be 3 months old on the 9th. So this year is not going to be near as much fun as next year, but hey. Okay, so we are literally just days away from Christmas. You know, we have what? Today's the 7th. We have literally, let's see, that's 14, 15, 17 days till Christmas Eve. I had to look on the calendar because I wasn't so sure exactly how many days we did have. So, but yeah, it's coming down to the wire. And if you guys are like me, it seems like I always want to do all my Christmas shopping and get it done early, but it never seems to work that way for me. So, I try to get everything bought, and it's like, you never know what to buy for people. And for me, you know, we decided buy for the kids. We do the kids, you know, and we really don't have no little kids in our family. I mean, I guess I do. We have the grandson, like I said, 3 months. Okay. We have a nephew that is 3. Then I have, we have twin nephews that are 14 now. Yeah, 14. And then my brother's stepdaughters, they'll actually be 10 tomorrow. So those are the littlest ones that we have, or the youngest ones, I should say. And then we have our other niece and nephew, and she's 21 and he's 24 or 23, something like that. So, you know, it's always hard to buy for them. So, but anyways, so what do you guys do for, you know, being out on the road? How do you manage to do your Christmas shopping for your kids, grandkids, parents, significant others? Or do you just leave that up to somebody else to do it all for you? How are you able to schedule that time and do that while trying to provide for your family too? You know, Greg and I, we don't really, you know, we always get each other something. I throw hints at him all the time of what I want. So sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't, because he kind of just, you know, looks at me like, really? I told him a couple years ago, and he teases me about it all the time. And he's on now, so he's going to know exactly what I'm going to say here in a minute. And Robbie would kind of know too, and he's also on here listening, because, you know, Robbie's part of the family, Like most of our redneck and I's, you know, we're all family here. But I told Greg a couple years ago, I wanted an exercise bike. Okay. Well, he said, okay. So he goes over to the sports place here in town and he calls me and says, you want a bike? You know, if you get an elliptical, you can get more use out of it because it works more of your body parts and muscles, all that other stuff. I think, you know what? Yeah, that would work. He teases me all the time and tells me, he's like, because I told him I wanted a pasta maker for my KitchenAid mixer. And he's like, so it could sit on the shelf down there right beside the elliptical that you never use. So, you know, hey, you have to be in the right state of mind to get down there and work on the elliptical. I don't see him down there on it. You know, he tells me all the time, well, you know, I don't need to use it. I got it for you. I get enough exercise. None of us. If you drive truck, I don't care, flatbed, step deck, detach, you know, drop and hook, power, you know, whatever you do, driving a truck, you do not get enough exercise, okay? Because out of your workday, you're behind that wheel at a minimum 10 hours a day. Okay, so tell me, tell me if I'm wrong, but are you or are you not? Now, Greg just put up his hand because that means he wants me to bring him on a radio, but I'm going to get the rest of what I got to say out before I bring him on because I don't want to hear what he has to say. So, but let me take a swig of my coffee so I can get ready for this. Greg, every year when he goes in for his physical with his cardiologist, he always tells him he needs to, you know, exercise more. And Greg always tells his cardiologist, put your walking shoes on and come with me. Now, I have counted more steps doing with my, you know, Fitbit or my watch or whatever it is, how many steps I do. Well, you know, granted, yeah, I'm not gonna say you guys driving truck, don't get exercise, up and down, throwing chains, pulling tarps, tossing tarps, whatever it is. You do get exercise. I'm not taking that away from any of y'all. So on that note, I'm going to bring Greg on. So just be prepared because we all know he's going to have something smart to say because this is Greg. And we wouldn't have Greg any other way than the way we have Greg now. Because with Greg, it's blunt to the point and that's the way it is. So with that being said,
Where do I start?
Hello, babe. Nice to have you on.
Along with driving and throwing chains and pushing my tarp.
Oh yeah, that's
now
right.
Now I got telephone poles back there, railroad ties for lumber in the back of this thing to load on. That's a workout itself. And I don't know, but when I'm not driving and we're over on the hill doing stuff, I don't see anybody, you know, driving truck, sitting in the truck driving and chaining and stuff. That's one thing. All right, I get it. But exercise, there's more to it on my end of it and Robbie's end of it. There's more to it than just driving the truck and throwing chains and shit. All right, what about on the weekends when you got to pull a transmission, when you got to rebuild an engine, when you got to pull a rear end out, when you got to change tires, when you got to do brakes? I don't see anybody coming over crawling up under this.
Paperwork.
Bought up, take them to
paperwork.
The shop.
Paperwork.
Bought up, take them to the shop, and they throw it in the shop and say, fix it. Call me when it's done. Well, that's okay if you want to spend the money, but I would rather keep my money and fix it myself and know it's done right than to go out there and pay somebody $5,000 for something I could do for $700 or $800 myself. So with that being said, I'll turn it over to Robbie. I know he's listening.
Oh, he's listening.
So, yep, see you right in there, Buttercup. Let's see what you got to say.
But that was my point, you know, because when it comes to gifts for people, you always, because I'm always giving you, telling you things that I want. Now, do I always get what I say I want? No.
Oh,
but when I did,
seriously.
99.9% of the time, I do get what I want. So, okay, I'm bringing Robbie on now. But that's what I was getting to.
I'm thinking about calling a realtor. If she don't get what she wants, I'm thinking about calling a realtor and sell the house. Say, well, she don't need it.
Wait a minute.
She didn't have
it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you really want to talk about
that? She asked for a house. She got a house.
Okay, now wait a minute.
She got her own pickup.
I had my own pickup before I got my new pickup.
That bike was too big. She got another bike.
I know.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm not saying she's totally spoiled, but
you,
she got
Robbie.
A damn good start.
No lasagna for you, Robbie.
Oh,
I ain't saying she's spoiled, Robbie, but she got a damn good start.
And I'm not saying.
She does.
You're right. You're right. You're right. But what I was meaning by it is, you know. Anyway, okay, I'm shutting up about that. Because I just dug myself in one heck of a big hole.
That'd be a good thing to do.
I don't think I can step out of this hole right now.
How big is your how long is your shovel there?
Oh, well, I'm 5'5", and I'm in the hole about 20 feet, so.
Put her down.
Ain't no point getting her a shovel, Robbie, because she'll stand it up right next to that elliptical and that pasta maker after Christmas.
You know what? I had a good teacher that taught me how to set this stuff up and hold it up. Want me to tell you who that was?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know who it was. He ain't here to defend himself, but I'd lay it on him, too.
He would agree.
Yeah. I can hear him right now.
Uh-huh.
Ain't my job, cockroach.
You're right.
That's what I got you for.
Uh-huh. And that always seemed to work, too.
I guess.
Yep.
All right. I'll sit back and be quiet.
Well, you don't have to be quiet. It's just the three of us, what's due.
For a minute.
Yeah. No, but I did find... I didn't get hooked up. Hold on. I got to pull this up. I found a couple stories. Let me find them. Oh, crap. I lost them. I had to save. But, Robbie, who does all your shopping when you're out on the road all the time? Does Penny do it all for Christmas? Or do you guys do it together for the boys?
For Christmas, like for my brothers and the kids, and she does majority of the shopping. If I know I'm going to be home like a couple days, I'll start ordering my stuff and then make sure I'm home, like especially for Christmas. That way I can grab it before she does.
Ah, gotcha. Well, that's good. That works. I usually do all the shop,
but I normally get stuck wrapping everything though.
Well, I get
especially
stuck
when I start pulling a flatbed. She goes, "You should be good at wrapping presents. You wrap a tarp, you put a tarp on every day." I'm like,
I just stick it in a Walmart bag and tie the handles up, twist it up, put a bow around it, send it.
And you talking from experience on that one?
It is what it is.
He did do that one year, Robbie. Instead of wrapping my gifts that he got me, he just put it all in a Walmart bag.
Oh, come on, man. You got to wrap it some way.
Now, the last few years, he's
wrapped
better.
In a Walmart bag?
Well, it's recyclable. I'm trying to go green here. I'm trying to help the environment. I want Uncle Joe to be proud of me. That way, if I put it in plastic, that's what they want. Everything. If I use paper, then I'm hurting the environment because they got to cut trees down to make that paper. See, I'm helping the environment.
Don't start, Jed. Yeah. You're out. You should have been out.
I do see his point. I see where he's going.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, yeah, he's pretty good about it. But the last few years, he's actually, you know, wrapped stuff on his own. Seriously?
Me and Penny don't do a whole lot for each other. It's more towards the kids.
That's usually how we are. We just get something little for each other, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I can't even say little, but yeah.
Yeah,
I guess I
uh-huh.
got a
truck, motorcycles.
That wasn't for Christmas. That was over a course of a couple of years, so we're okay.
I found my Christmas present. It's $3,700, and she won't let me get it, Robbie.
What's that?
It's a 1968 Hendrickson road tractor.
Why? What's the problem?
I don't know. That's
a nice
I'm
Christmas
wondering.
Present. That's
That'd
a nice
be an
Christmas
antique, man.
Right
that'd look good to get that thing all fixed up, support that around the shows.
Put a big hammer and that thing back out into the sled, would you?
You don't want to tie that to a sled.
Yeah. In a heartbeat. I don't know. Maybe it would start when I got ready to go to work. Maybe I need to think about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, mine.
I think this one was protesting this morning. It didn't want to go to work.
Yeah, I mean, this article's protesting here, too. It doesn't want to open. This thing's driving me crazy. Okay.
All right, let's get on to trucking.
I'm working at it. I had an article here in about the hurdles in battery electric trucking fleet, and I can't get it to come up. I got to go into it another way.
They're not trying to build trucks. They're trying to build race cars. As I said the other day, that got that truck go 0 to 60 in 20. What was it, 0 to 60 in 20 seconds?
So yeah.
How much freight damage is there going to be in the back of that truck? You're going to have freight towed all over the place. I'd like to see it take off 0 to 60 in 20 seconds with a flatbed. Then I'll have half the shit laying off on the side of the road.
Okay. Now, let me see if I can find the article. Oh, there we go. All right. It's a study about, you know, like I said, the hurdles to any and all battery electric trucking fleet. There's a map, and I'm going to share this to our Facebook page. But it tells you some of the states it's going to be worse off for the generation, you know, the percent of total generation required. And I'm assuming the generation they're talking about generating the power for it. It says the prospect of converting the nation's trucking fleet from diesel to battery electric. Oh, Robbie's sending me attachments and my thing's going off here. Okay, to battery electric power.
No,
carbon emission reduction goals present several major challenges, according to newly released research. The American Transportation Research Institute today released a new report that assesses the infrastructure requirements for converting the U.S. vehicle fleet to battery electric. And now they're talking about the ATRI found that domestic long-haul trucking would use more than 10% of the electricity generated in the country today, while an all-electric U.S. total fleet would use more than 40%. Okay, tens of millions of tons of cobalt, graphite, lithium, and nickel will be needed to replace the existing U.S. vehicle fleet with battery electric vehicles, placing high demand on raw materials, and current technology will more charges than there are truck parking spaces in the U.S. with hardware and installation cost of $112,000 per unit or more than $35 billion system-wide. Carbon emission reduction is clearly a top priority in the U.S. trucking industry, and feasible alternatives to internal combustion engines must be identified, said this, I can't even say the guy's name, but he's the president of the engine business in Cummins Incorporated. ATRI's research demonstrates that vehicles electrification in the U.S. will be a daunting task that goes well beyond the trucking industry. Utilities, truck parking facilities, and the vehicle production supply chain are critical to addressing the challenges identified in this research. Thus, the market will require a variety of decarbonization solutions and other powertrain technologies alongside battery electric. So, and then it goes on to, holy crap, this was a long article. Okay. It goes on to other related news about Musk tweets Tesla's Class 8 semi makes 500 miles. Okay, and it goes into the Biden administration has made reducing carbon emissions a top priority in the battle against climate change. It has called for a half of all new vehicles to be battery powered by the end of this decade. The ATRI study found that full electrification of the U.S. commercial vehicle fleet would require a large percentage of the country's present electricity generation. Some individual states would need to generate as much as 60% more electricity than is presently produced, according to the ATRI study. ATR concludes large-scale infrastructure investment is a necessity pursuant to the electrification. Production of battery electric vehicles also has considerable environmental and social impacts. Mining and processing produce considerable CO2 and pollution issues, and the exploitation of laborers who work in the mining operations is common in some source countries, according to the ATRI report. ATRI's analysis also found a major increase in demand for the raw materials mined for battery production. Tens of millions of tons of cobalt, graphite, lithium, and nickel will be needed to replace the existing U.S. vehicle fleet, placing high demand on raw materials. ATRI found, depending on the material, electrification of the U.S. vehicle fleet would require 6.3 to 34.9 years of current global production. This is equivalent of 8.4 to 64.4% of the global resources for just the U.S. vehicle fleet. So,
all right. Now,
all right.
Did anybody think?
You want my 2 cents on that? Where are we getting all the electricity from? The West Coast is running out of water.
Yes.
How are they going to get, like, three major lakes supply damn near almost the whole West Coast? You ain't going to get no power if there's no water.
No
right?
Hydropower, no. And if that's what I told Ed the other night. They're all crying about solar panels. Well, when you cover up all the farmland with solar panels, crops.
Yeah. But as much as it's that they're talking about that they need, that they're going to need to produce these vehicles for just the batteries for them and the electric, you know, the cobalt, the graphite, the lithium, and the nickel to, you know, tens of millions. But like they said, the CO2 and the pollution issues that are going to go right along with that same thing for mining all that stuff, what are they saving? The pollution is going to be worse by mining as much as they have to in order to produce the electric vehicles that they want to do.
You can go down there and pick up anything in that house, anything in that garage. It's chemical, plastic, lights, whatever. And if you read the fine print on it, 90% of your package and everything, everybody says, this product is known by the state of California, you know, to cause cancer. Now, what is this, all this mining, all these, you know, what, where's California on this? You tell me
right.
None of that stuff's going to cause cancer? It's not going to be known to the state of California to cause cancer? BS. Robbie, keep your diesel truck
I'm going to keep mine. Anybody that's got an ounce of common sense is going to keep their damn their fossil fuel trucks and cars, because when all these electric cars was out there and the power grid don't support it and they can't run them, it's going to be our market then, because we're going to name the price.
Those electric vehicles are not, I'll be towing trucks to the dealership.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Might as well get you a hitch put on the back here so you can tow all this electric shit in.
Yeah. No, the thing that I sent Tiff, it was a up in Washington, a 30-car pileup due to ice and fog.
Seen something on you got it off of Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen something about that earlier when I was scrolling. Somebody else had that posted.
Yeah, I think there was 12 trucks and the rest were cars in it.
Yeah.
But they have 4 pictures of it, and there's one truck. I think it's a 379, I thought. Well, I see the hood, but the rest of the truck is all gone.
Huh.
They don't say nothing on if there's any fatalities or anything, which by looking at the couple pictures they have posted there, I think there's some fatalities in it.
Right.
I'd like to know how these guys are wrecking these trucks on dry pavement. Dry, clear, sunny days, dry pavement, and they're upsetting them, putting them out in the woods, crashing, running over things. What? Why? There's no reason for it. None.
Exactly.
And it's, they're doing all these roads, all the technology in the world that they can put in these trucks, this is like I told Ed. Go back. They want to do studies about all the accidents and everything with the e-logs and the blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. Go back and do a study from the older drivers that's been out here for years. It's got, 20, 30-some years experience that drove trucks when they didn't have electronic engines, all the electronics in them. Go back and do a study on them and see how many accidents there was. Yeah, they say, they was out there, they was on drugs, and they was doing this, they was running 2 log books or 3 log books. Been there, done that. All right, but look and see how many major accidents per capita there was then compared to now. I know there's a lot more vehicles out here now, but go back and do a study on older drivers and see how many of them run driving records. See how many of them's got bad driving records compared to ones that's got them now. Let's do a study.
Yeah.
Let's do a study. Knock on wood. In the 38 years I've been out here, I've tore one up, and that was when I tore the top off that damn trailer up here in Chicago. Whoopee-doo. That's pretty good odds for 30-some years.
I've been out here close to 15 now. And I haven't taken a top off a truck or put a truck in the ditch. There's guys out here that have been out here a year, and they're on their 5th truck already.
Yep.
Because of the way they were trained.
You can't train a driver in the summertime in South Texas and down south and keep him in a truck for 4 weeks or whatever it is, 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and say, okay, he's good to go. And then turn him loose in the winter and send his ass to Spokane or Montana or North Dakota or Pennsylvania or somewhere in a blizzard. You can't do it. He has no adverse driving, he has no adverse driver driving, training in bad inclement weather. And how hard is that for them to figure out? How hard is it to figure out? They should have to do so many, you know, so many weeks in the summer, and then in the winter months, they should have to do so many weeks in adverse weather before they are turned loose on their own with a truck.
You know, and that's what Donnie and I were talking about. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's what Donnie and I were talking about.
You can't train them, like
today.
I said, you can't train them down south on sunny roads, dry roads where it's flat, you know, out in the damn desert, and put them up in the mountain passes and stuff in the winter and say, well, I'm a truck driver. Yeah. It'll separate the men from the boys when you put them up there, or the women from the girls. You don't want to be you want to be gender specific. I don't give a damn. It'll separate the truck drivers from whatever, because don't call yourself a truck driver until you've been properly trained. And these guys out here have not been properly trained. You can't train somebody in 4 weeks, you know, properly train them in 2 to 4 weeks and then put them in an 80,000-pound truck and send them down the road and say, okay, they're good to go. No. All right, I'll shut up.
Are you sure?
I was going to ask him that, but I was waiting to see if he said anything else.
Well, you want to get me started again?
We're good.
All night.
We know, which is fine. Heck, really, we're already halfway through this hour, so we're doing good. No, but what I was going to say is Donnie and I were talking about that earlier. You know, I don't even know what got us started on it, but about when I, you know, got my CDL. Because when I went to school, because I went to truck driving school, but it was a 12-week course that I did, because, of course, doing 12 weeks was cheaper with my, you know, paying for it. But when I went to go to take my test, of course, it was snowing, and it was a snowstorm, so I learned how to drive in the snow. You know, what better way to, you know, learn how to drive in it was when you're going with the, you know, examiner to take your test in it. And I passed it first time, so... But
when her and I got together, I had to teach her all, train her all over again.
Because I didn't drive in the winter. Not saying I can't. I don't like it. I'd prefer not to, but I will do it. But why
do
it?
Not what I ever
do,
wear a clutch pedal and a pressure plate out in a year.
I did not, you lying sack of... You know what?
Easy. That's a family-oriented show here.
It's whatever I make it.
Uh-oh.
But no, I mean, it's true.
She used to, when her and I got together, Robbie, she pumped that clutch pedal like she was riding a bicycle.
Wanna know why? Because I never learned how to, you know, float shift. Because I was always afraid to do that.
You can float shift now, can't you?
Yes, I can.
All righty then.
Sometimes.
Oh, easy now.
Wait, I do recall you stating a couple times that, you know, but I won't say it because I can't say that now because I've been out of the truck for way too long.
Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
No, I'm not going to say that.
You got no proof of that. There, nobody heard that.
Do you really want me to call those people that's heard
fine.
That?
So
I
go
can
ahead,
call them
it.
Right now. Do you want me to call them right now? Because I can.
Who? Who?
Oh, let's see. I can call Donnie. I can call Jim.
Well, they all...
I believe I can call Phil, because I think, if I remember correctly, I believe you told Phil that, too.
Oh, Phil ain't nobody.
But Phil is so great with me.
Phil already wrecked one. He put one on his side, too.
Yeah. But I never put one on its side. All right, I got to grab Matt. He's whining.
Yep, pretty much.
Just so you know, I can still hear you guys. Just so you know,
Yep. Welcome to the Greg and Robbie Show.
I know,
the
right?
Comedy
yep,
hour.
That's what it is, the Greg and Robbie Show.
That's all right. Because
no one
you
else
know.
Wants to call in.
No. I mean, Jeff looked at the message where I posted that, you know, was going live. But
Don't hear from Jeff much. You don't hear from Holly. You never hear from Kelly. Which, whatever.
I'm fine with that.
That's all right.
Oh, you know what? Okay, you guys talk amongst yourself because I think I left Claire outside.
You gotta find how you do.
I know, right?
Fine, how do you do?
Put the dog out and forget about her. See? I leave home and the whole damn place falls apart.
Pretty much. That's what it sounds like.
Sorry. I'll be back tomorrow night. I'll get everything in check. I gotta get over here to Paris and hope the hell I can find a place park in there tonight. Over here at the state line. That'll leave me 10 miles down to where I got to deliver. I'll go in there, find a place to park. I'll Google it and see if they got any truck parking down there and look around. It's been years since I've been in there. I don't know if they got anywhere to park or not. If they do, I'll go right on down to the plant. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll be ready to push the curtain and let them have their stuff.
Where are you going to?
BTC, Pittsburgh 2. Richmond, Indiana.
Okay, Pittsburgh Tube.
Yep. Why, you want the address?
Hold on. Richmond, Indiana, right?
Yep.
Well, that's Alliance. I don't want... Oh, no, that's it. Okay, let me see. I can tell you in just a minute. Oh, yeah, it looks like they got parking down there.
Did they?
Yeah, but it might be where all their, employees park. I'm not sure. There's a big dirt lot right there in front of it.
I don't give a damn. It'd be my damn dirt lot if I get there before their employees do.
Yeah, and you, it looks like you could...
I'm scrolling through Facebook, and, this guy's talking about $20, $22 to park at the TA in Denver West, Wheat Ridge, Colorado. And, Waterboy, it has a picture of Bobby Boucher. My mama says that truckers are mad because they got all them loads and nowhere to park.
Yeah. I tell you what, before I pay $20 to park, I'll park on a damn ramp or a shoulder, piss on them. I ain't paying no trucks off $20 to park. There ain't no way in hell. That's just why they charge, because everybody pays it. And they didn't, that's another thing. They didn't start that bullshit with the pay parking until the e-logs come around. And they knew that these drivers was going to have to shut these trucks down at night to sleep because that e-log was making them, and that's when they started charging the pay park, double dipping. And then they want to talk about, we appreciate the drivers. Thank you, truck drivers, for all you do.
And what I've ran across on, the TAs and Petros, they're the best for it. The ones that are charging a lot, or most of their lot is paid parking, their lots are junk. So where is all that money going?
In their pocket.
Exactly. It's not going, I can understand, okay, if you're going to charge a truck to park, whatever. If the lot's in good shape, you have someone coming out there picking up trash, taking trash cans out, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I understand that. But at least the money's going towards something. You're paying someone to go out there to clean up some of these lazy asses that can't go to a trash can.
Some of the pilots and stuff up around us. The one up there in Girard was bad for a while, and there was a couple others. They go in Asplin and Davy Tree and these tree trimming services. They go out and rent 10 or 15 spots out to these tree trimming companies, and they park their cars there,
and then they go to work, and then in the evening when they quit, they take the trucks back, pull the cars out, back their trucks up in there, take their cars and go home. So now they rent them spots out to that tree trimming company to park their trucks there at night, and then the rest of the damn parking lot, then they want to charge the truck drivers, you know, for pay, you know, they want you to buy a spot, pay for a spot to park your truck. Now, why don't the tree trimming companies, why they should have their own damn shop somewhere? Or they could park anywhere. Go to Walmart. I don't care where you go. Now, you got, you know, 8 or 10 tree trimming companies with a chipper behind it or something parked in a spot where a road truck could be parked and rest, get their rest. These guys park there and go home. I know of 2 or 3 of them right up around home. Gerard used to be one of them. That pilot right there, Gerard. I haven't seen him in there for a while. And to beat that, they had a camera up on one of the light poles back there in the corner above them trucks. They had a surveillance camera up there, so they had video surveillance of it so nobody would screw with their shit. When was the last time you looked up above your truck and seen a surveillance camera, a video camera, so when somebody tears your damn hood off, you got a picture of it? Oh, no. No, not us. But they will with them tree companies and them people like that. Poor shit. Bite me.
Okay.
I ain't paying them nothing.
Right. All right. I know this PA, you know, probably you both will know what one I'm talking about, Jeffersonville, PA, in Jeffersonville, Ohio. I just got on the TA app. They got 56 parking spots there. And they damn near fill up every night. All right, let's go to a calculator. 56 or 56 spaces times, we'll just say $20 a night.
Right.
That's $1,100 a night that they're making.
Yep.
Times 7. They're making $54,000 off of us. Okay, let's go for the whole year.
A week.
Times 12. They're making $658,000.
Yep.
Almost 659.
And they want to feed you roller grill hot dogs or Burger King or McDonald's or Chester's Chicken or some bullshit. Can't even get a decent meal. Right. Oh, but the truckers need to eat healthier. They're always concerned about the driver's health out here, but they take all the restaurants and stuff out and put fast food joints in them. Yeah. That's why you got 300-400-pound guys out here tearing steering wheels and shit out of the trucks because they can't get in the truck.
Exactly.
Whatever. I'm fed up with this industry.
Yeah,
it ain't
bad.
Getting no better. It's only going to get worse. That's why I'm glad it's winding down for me. One of these days, I'm going to sit back and laugh at them and say, yeah, I remember when.
Well, you know, that's, you know, you think about when you started driving truck, when I started driving truck, when Robbie started driving, you know, because I got my license in 95. Donnie said he got his in 2000. Robbie, you got yours, what, 15 years ago, you said, when you started driving truck?
Yeah, it was 08.
And then, Greg, you got yours back, you know, in the Stone Age. So everybody...
No, Greg started driving. You didn't need a license.
I know, right?
But
you know what pissed me off one day? I had a load of iron going out to Philadelphia. And Fred Flintstone passed me going up snowshoe. He was kicking on that damn stone wheel car. Pissed me off. What really makes you mad, the trucks that we was driving back then when we started, everybody talks about how bad the trucks are now. I wouldn't drive that piece of shit. I ain't driving that truck. That truck's junk. If they'd have drove some of them Macs and stuff that we drove, International, Peterbilts, I ain't excluding none of them. What really pissed you off is when you're climbing snowshoe or Clearfield or one of these, you know, mountains or something, and a little Amish boy passes you on a bicycle and tells you to move over and get out of the way. You got a problem.
Yeah, because you're running about 15 miles an hour up the hill because there was no power in the trucks then. You know, cause I started out in, I believe it was an 81 or 82 International cab over that, you know, I only technically ran it for one round to Iowa and back because, you know, we kept losing oil pressure on it. But, you know, just like that, I learned how to drive in a cab over per se, cause that's what I had to do with Dad. And even when I was riding with Sarah Wilson, he didn't have a cab over at the time. No, he didn't, because he just sold it. But anyways, I learned how to drive in a cab over. Now, when I did my testing and everything, didn't drive in a cab over. They had conventionals. But my next truck after that was a conventional, and then, you know, a year into driving, I totaled it. But it was still, you know, it was a lot different with the, like you said, with the trucks, with the industry alone, just in the different time frames from when you started, I started, Donnie started, and Robbie started. You know, we can talk about the things that we know that's different now, not so much with the trucks themselves, but with the industry itself. It's a big, big difference. Because when I started driving, I mean, fuel,
by far.
Yeah, fuel back in, you know, 98 or 95 was like 88 cents, I think, a gallon for fuel. And by the time, you know, 2000 rolled around, it was, you know, a dollar something. It still didn't go up almost $2 a gallon and maybe, but still it was, you know, everything, but the, of course the rates weren't near what they are now, but when you look at the rates of some of the stuff, it has come up, but it still hasn't come up to what it should be with the cost of living and the price of everything now, which is always something we fall back on every day when we talk about trucking, is the rates and the fuel surcharge. And now, you know, we always know at the end of the year, between Thanksgiving and New Year, we all know it doesn't matter what industry you're in or what branch of the industry that you're in. Trucking is terrible, except for, you know, maybe FedEx and all of them with, you know, shipping packages. Everything dies off. Everybody's complaining about, you know, not getting freight.
That's why that's why I sat for a week. Trying to find something to come home.
Yeah.
There was stuff going east. I could go east, but I didn't want to go east. I wanted to go west.
Right.
Phoenix, Arizona is not east, last I checked on the map. But it's now it's getting into the time of the year where the guys that want to go home for Christmas to go see their families, they're going to try to go home, and they're going to take just about anything. But I got more money on the load that they wanted from last week, which is the one that I called on last week. But I did get more money out of them. There's a lot of these brokers, Greg.
Yeah, we had that discussion last night.
Yeah. Is all these brokers want to take everything from you.
Yeah.
That's what I told. That's a conversation me and Ed had one night. I said they want to keep putting more and more regulations on the drivers and, you know, fining us for everything and wanting to dig through your paperwork all the time. When the hell are they going to start investigating some of these brokers or start doing some research on them and start handing them their hats? Dude, hell no.
No, because those
when
brokers
they start taking 40 to 50%, when they start taking anywhere from 30 to 50% of the money off of the load, you know, almost half of what that load pays, they're putting in their pocket, giving you the rest. That's bullshit. Plain words. And we know it's happening because me and Donnie caught Bill out Tiff too. Me and Donnie and Tiff. When I was over there, we caught two of them brokers doing that. C.H. Robinson's one of them. Landstar is another one. Landstar is a big one. They put the shit on the board for one price, and then when you call, oh, no, that ain't what it pay. We can't pay that. Well, then why you got to post it on the board for that? And Rob told me that they do it. He said, oh, yeah, they're bad. Them agents are bad for it. I said, yeah, that's when there needs to be some oversight. Whatever they put that load on that board for, that's what they should have to pay, at least what they. But you know that it's paying more than that. Just like that load you got, Robbie. Last week, it was $1,500 less than what you got it for, or 13, whatever it was. Now, 3 or 4 days later,
all of a sudden, mysteriously, they told you back then, well, that's all we got in it. We can't pay no more than that. But in a matter of 3 or 4 days, that load magically made another $1,300 or $1,500 that they could pay on it. So how is that? They couldn't pay any more that last week, but all of a sudden this week they can't move it. So now this week they're willing to pay it. Because if they didn't have any more than that in it last week, then where the hell is that money coming from this week? The money was there.
They just didn't want to let go of it. They wanted to put it in their pocket.
Yep. And that's what most of them are doing, because if they can get you to haul it for less, that means that's more money that they can keep, and it makes them look
exactly.
good. So they're going to get more companies to come to them because they're making a profit for not only for themselves, but also for the company they're hauling it for.
Yeah, and on this one load,
I'll call them out, just like Bennett. I'll call them out, just like Bennett. Then they want to get on there and every month on their safety meeting and their meeting, driver meet on the phone, and brag about their quarterly profits, how much quarterly profit they made. Just brag about how much quarterly profit they made. And then tell the guys, oh, keep up with your inspections and your roadside. We love to give away free money, you know, for good, clean inspections. Yeah, uh-huh. We're, you know, the drivers is out here starving, trying to make ends meet, hauling this cheap-ass freight, and they're bragging about their quarterly profits. Go to hell. That's why I ain't with Bennett Motor Express.
Any more?
No, I'm good. That's my rant.
I was just making sure.
For a minute.
I didn't want to interrupt you if you're going to still keep on going. Keep it
well,
on,
no, they're not
on,
the
you know?
Only ones, you know. That's just a couple, you
know.
It's like Landstar.
Yeah, oh,
how could you be an owner-operator for Landstar and put one of their trailers for 60-some percent? How in the hell can you operate your truck for 60-some percent with Landstar?
I don't know.
That's unheard of.
Well, they're not the only one. The one that I checked into that your buddy works for, according to what
they
Daily,
yeah.
It, Daily Express out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I might as well just throw them under this bus. It's 70% of line haul if you rent a trailer from them. It's 60% if you don't rent a trailer from them.
60% if you use your own trailer?
Yeah. Okay,
now,
yeah, screw that. I'll just stay right where I'm at. I haven't, you know, the guy, the lead recruiter over there, whoever it was, called me. He left a message. I wanted to see what he had all in the message, and then he sent me over an email on it, and I'm not going to call him back. How am I supposed to make money? That's taking a pay cut.
Right.
Which I carry my own liability insurance. The only insurance that I need to have on my truck and my trailer is cargo.
Right.
They say that, oh, we get a good deal. No, you're not going to get as good a deal as that what I got.
Right.
For liability insurance. And by the way I kind of think of it is they'll charge you for cargo insurance too. So where am I don't know how you're making any money over there. I don't know how any of them are making any money over there.
Sure not.
But they got contracts with John Deere and Cat, which they're pretty much shut down for the year anyway, so.
I don't know
either. But, yeah, Landstar's another one that they'll pay you 60 or 62%. How are you making any money there?
Great.
I'll fight with the brokers day in, day out, because I'll get my 83% on it.
Right.
I don't know. It's sad the way the industry has changed so much over the last 20-some years. And now that they're wanting to start throwing out all of these electric trucks and wanting in the next, you know, within the next decade, they're saying about pulling most all electric trucks. I am
okay,
sorry.
Now with all these, they're going to have to, the electric trucks, okay, or electric vehicle in general, because you got all types of vehicles that pull freight around. You got the expediters that pull, you know, they have the vans and the hot shots, and you got the big trucks. They're going to end up taking most of these truck stops and making the spots bigger so you can charge. They're not going to be crammed together like they are now. Okay, well, to say they have 100 spots in that truck stop. That's actually a kind of small one. But using that, now it's going to be cut down to probably 80 to 75 or even 70 or half the lot cut down. Where are we supposed to park?
I see them doing like Idler did. They're going to have their big racks where you go and you back in or pull in underneath them or whatever. The cord's hanging down. You plug it in.
Yep.
And you pay for it.
And then you can
exactly
only get and go about
be.
400 miles a day on an average.
And then,
that's all you're going to be able to go.
And about 90% of them, when you get ready to use them, is going to have the cords ripped off of them because these assholes are going to pull in there. They're going to plug in. Next morning, they're going to get up, cock it in gear, take off, and take the electric cord with them.
Yep.
I'll keep my truck.
Or throw it. Or smash it, run over it, whatever. Nah, I'll keep mine.
Well, just
I'll
like
keep
that.
Mine.
Okay. All right. Hypothetical here. Okay, you guys are both going to keep your diesel engines, which we know a lot of people will probably do the same aspect. But if they get to the point where it is cheaper to charge an electric truck than it is to put fuel in your diesel, then what are you going to do?
I'll still keep driving my truck because I can go 800 miles, 900 miles on a tank, not 400. Then you got to shut down. Okay, now for the little bit of reading I did last week when we were having the show on the electric vehicle, it depends on what charger. There's three different chargers to charge these,
right.
The charge electric vehicle. If they're using the supercharger, it'll take anywhere from 4 to 5 hours to charge that truck back up. But that's a car, so the batteries are smaller. So it's probably going to take at least 10 hours to maybe 14 hours to charge that truck back up. Okay, if you're going 14 hours, they're only driving, 10, 11 hours a day because you really can't move that truck. Okay, but what happens at night? I don't know if you're able to use the vehicle while it's charging. It's going to take even longer if a guy's sleeping or in the truck with all his electronics in it while he's waiting for the truck to charge up.
What I want to know is how they're going to get heat, how they're going to keep up with the heat and the AC and everything while it's charging. They're charging
but they're also using the heat or AC
to keep cool or warm, so they're going to be taking it out fast as they're trying to put it in. It ain't going to work.
No, it don't. No. But I could just see this. It's going to be another tax for an electric vehicle because, okay, we'll just say it's not it's half the cost of running to put diesel in a truck. Okay, it's half the cost.
Is it?
They're going to end up.
Is it?
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
I'm just saying.
It will be until they flood the market with all these electric trucks, and then they're going to do the same thing they did with diesel. When there wasn't all these trucks out here, diesel fuel was cheap. They flood the market with trucks, and then they jack the diesel fuel up $5-$6 a gallon. So it's going to be the same way with them electric vehicles. They're going to give it to you cheap for the electric until you get the market flooded, get all of them out here. Then they're going to jack the price of the electric up. You ain't going to be able to afford it. It's going to be just as bad as it is with the fuel and the gas.
Okay, what I'm saying, okay, we'll just say hypothetically, it's half the cost versus filling a truck up with diesel. It's half the cost to charge an electric truck. We'll just say. They're going to have, okay, well, we're not making enough money off of it for a fuel, which is electricity or diesel, That's way too many blue lights on that Volvo. I'm sorry. But anyways, back to my story. They're going to charge a tax, some type of tax to charge that vehicle, because then now they got to compensate for what they're losing. I don't think they've thought this all the way through yet.
Yeah, they're not going to get no fuel tax off of the fuel. So now what are they going to charge you tax on? Kilowatts? How many kilowatts you use?
Probably.
Of electric?
But I can just see this throughout the United States. We need to do a rolling blackout. Like California, L.A. does it every summer. For the last, like, 5 or 6 years, they do a rolling blackout when it's really hot out, because they don't have enough electricity over there. Again, the West Coast, no electricity.
Yep. I don't know. I guess we just...
Well,
I just
saw something last night. I think it was on Book or something about the Tesla truck made its delivery to Sparks, Nevada. Well, if it came from Austin, Texas up to Sparks, Nevada, that's flat road.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're doing all this
because
testing on flat, dry, clear, perfect weather conditions, perfect terrain, everything. That's how they're doing their testing.
Mm-hmm.
Get
because
it out
the
in the
only...
real world. Put it in the mountains and the snow and the ice and the rain and the wind. And then see how your test goes.
That's all I saw was Tesla made its delivery to Sparks, Nevada, and that was it. But if they went from Austin, Texas up to Sparks, Nevada, the easiest way to go through there, well, you really don't want to go through California because it's just kind of you're going out of route. Well, you go through Arizona. Well, to cut through Arizona, there's a little bit of hills to climb, and that's it. And that's in between Phoenix and Kingman. The rest of it, from Vegas all the way up to Sparks, it's all flat ground. There's no hills to climb.
Right. That was all done.
Yeah, they need to test it up in North Dakota right now. From now until, like, February. Tell me how it is. I got one of my buddies that I know. He's up in, I think, North Dakota or Minnesota or something like that. It was 9 degrees for the high today.
So where they need to start doing some of their testing, Robbie, correct me if I'm wrong, is Calgary, Alberta, Montreal.
Oh, no, definitely.
Quebec.
Whoa. Let's go further north. Let's go to
Anchorage.
Alaska. Go check around Alaska right now.
Yeah, Anchorage, Fairbanks.
Negative 30 is your high, and that's not including the wind chill. It's like a negative 45.
Right.
Those trucks wouldn't run.
Yeah, because we all know what it's like when you're, you know, trying to deal with trucks in the winter just around our area. Can you imagine them trying to start them and run them up there? Because the cold air kills batteries, period.
Oh, the cold weather just kills. It don't matter what it is. It airlines, it could be tires, batteries, electronics, whatever. It kills it when it's cold out. Makes everything brittle.
I don't know, man. I don't see it. I don't see it.
No.
I think they're pissing up a rope, is what I think, but that's
you
my
know,
opinion.
It
don't mean nothing.
What they're going after is a cleaner burning vehicle. Yeah, electricity is not going to burn nothing. Until
all right, I get
explode.
It. But why is it that this country is the only one that's worried about it? India ain't worried about it. China ain't worried about it.
It's just like, if you bring a German car, an Audi or something, a VW from Europe, you bring it over to the state, you can't bring it over here because the emissions laws are different. We're more stricter than over there. Australia, that you can't bring an Australia car over here.
Hell, I'd love to get a hold of the damn. I'd love to get a hold of the software for the Detroits and the motors over there, Cummins, Detroit, whatever. I'd love to get a hold of that.
the software that they're using in Australia for them trains and stuff running the outbacks.
These things right here, these Detroits, they're probably pushing 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 horse out of them. And they'll run like a bastard over there and stay together. But we can't get that software over there because of emissions.
Yep. Well, even if you went back 15 years. Now, let's go a little bit further. 20 years. All these trucks, yeah, there was guys out here that they roll call everywhere they go. But how often did their truck break down?
Right.
Look at the dealerships now. Look at the service lot. They're full.
I don't know how many times in the last 10 years. I don't know how many times in the last 10 years that Tip and I has, you know, checked with companies, different trucking companies about leasing the truck on. And you know what they tell us? Oh, we can't do that. It's got to be 5 years or newer. Your truck's too old.
Well, what's the age got to do with it?
Well, the older trucks, they break down too much and too much downtime, and they get old and stressed and they break down. You know what? I pass more trucks out here during the day, broke down, on hooks, sitting on the side of the road, that's new trucks, and these old ones are still chugging right along. Don't tell me that. It's all about the electronics for the E-Log. That's where it comes down to. They don't want the truck because it's not E-Log compatible. They can't run California. It can't go to Jersey. Yeah, well, hell with it. I don't want to go there anyhow.
Now, going back to the life of my truck, mine's a 13 model. I've had some work done to it. And the only time it's been on a hook, knock on wood, is when the emissions shut the truck down. Emissions crap shut my truck down.
Yep. As like you're saying, you know, oh, too much smoke. They put out too much smoke. No. Like me and Donnie, like I told Donnie, mine only smokes when it drinks, but it drinks a lot.
You know, it's all the way you have them tuned, too.
No, the hell you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I asked Holly the other night what kind of fuel mileage she was getting with hers. I'm getting better fuel mileage with this thing, with this big flat hood and everything on it, and pulling the weight that I pull. I'm getting better fuel mileage with this than what she's getting with that new International. And she's pulling most of her loads is lighter.
Yeah, lighter loads, and you're pulling heavier loads. I'm averaging 6 miles a gallon on this load that I'm on right now. Now, the one I had another truck out of Baltimore, and I went down to Memphis with it. I averaged 6.8 miles a gallon from Baltimore down to Memphis.
I'm getting 6.4 now, and I'm late today, though. I've only got a little over 40,000 back here, and I'm averaging 6.4 since I left. Since I left over there in Ohio, Alliance, Ohio, or if I can.
I should pick up a little bit, a few miles tomorrow, just because I'm going across 20. Most of 20 is all flat, so.
I'm pushing as much wind with these two front tires as I am with the grill.
Ain't that a fact?
But that baby rides good,
truck
though.
Over there.
But it rides
Monster
good.
Monster truck over there. Oh, I bet it does.
See, right here is
sure
the truck
sitting
there with four ways.
Down
on.
In Weatherford, Texas? Oh, wait, no, that doesn't have people pusher on it and big old tires on it. There's this black Freightliner over here that has the same chrome visor as you.
If you see my truck down in Weatherford, Texas, you better call the cops because it's stolen.
Yeah, no joke.
But you ain't going to catch me down there. Not Weatherford.
Why not?
phew, that's too far out.
Yeah,
and I get lost out there.
No, well, you've been to Dallas a couple times in the last couple years.
Oh yeah, yeah, but it was worth my while, or I wouldn't have been there.
Oh, it was well worth your while.
Yeah, back then it was, huh?
Think about it.
If their rates can be like that, how come nobody else's can be? You know what that tells me? Everybody's rates, they might not be that good, but they're, even if they was half as good as what that company's rates was, everybody'd be happy. If they was half as good.
You made, on that one run, you made more than some guys make in 2 months, 3 months.
That's what I'm saying. In 2 years, Robbie, I did almost $800,000. If I would have worked every month, worked the whole complete year, both years, but hell, I probably only worked maybe 10 months out of each year. If I would have worked the full 12 months, other than, you know, my time off at home, I would have grossed $1 million in 2 years.
Oh, guarantee it.
I did $400,000 the last year. The year before that, it was what, $350,000 or $380,000?
I bet you Uncle Sam liked a big chunk of that too.
Oh yeah, you bet your ass. That's why that big black shiny ass trailer sitting up there on the hill, because I need it right off. Yeah, I'm writing
we'll
it off.
This
all
year
right.
Goes. I have another write-off. I went out and bought another trailer, so.
Well, I tell you what, after this year, I won't owe Uncle Sam, bro. Oh, will probably owe us this year.
Yeah.
That's fine. He can. I could use some money.
Tell Uncle Joe, man, I'm waiting for my fuel surcharge check that Ed was talking about that night. That guy said the government pays us a fuel surcharge. I'm waiting for him to cut me a check.
Oh, we'll be waiting for a while for that one.
Shit, you're right. You know, if it wasn't for having to go buy a new truck, I'd go right back over to where I was at, I think. But I ain't staying in this truck a month for nobody.
No.
And I ain't damn sure ain't gonna happen.
If it's more than 10 days, Greg's really mad.
Uh-huh.
And I damn sure ain't gonna call them and ask them for permission to go home when I want to go home. I gotta okay my home time with my own truck, and I gotta ask them if I can go home after being out a month. I gotta ask them if I can go home, and then when I go home, I gotta work on my truck and do all my maintenance and everything on my truck on my days off, on my 3 or 4 days off that I get, and then I gotta go out another month. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, see how far that gets you. No, that's why I ain't there. Part of the reason I ain't there. The main reason I ain't there.
You know, there's goals on, if you want to be an owner-operator, you set your goal to, you know, get a truck, get it paid off, start making money, and then you can do what you want. Find a carrier. Or your own self, have your own authority. You take your days off when you want to take your days off. You know, spend time at home with your family. You shouldn't
that's
be telling
why you become
someone
an owner-operator, so you control your own finances. You work when you want to. You don't work, you don't work. That's why you become an owner-operator. When it comes down, when you're an owner-operator and they start telling you where you got to go, when you got to get to the next point, and when you can go home, and when you can have to go back, you're no longer an owner-operator. You're a company driver. And that being said, if you're a company
driver, they
should have to pay all your health, your health and your benefits and shit. They should have to pay for everything. You're a company driver. If they're telling you what to do and you're doing it, then you're not an owner-operator. You're a company driver. Do some research on it. Call Wyatt and ask them. I bet they're just full of valuable information. Yeah, right.
I think Google gives me better information than OIDA.
Yeah, well, OIDA is a story for another day. That's a whole different show right there in itself.
That is true.
Them, the ATA, ATRI, that ATRI Tim was talking about, ATRI, yeah, that, all of them. The Ohio Trucking Association. Every state's got their own trucking association. Arizona, every state. Ohio Trucking Association. Yeah, never mind.
You make the drivers happy?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Okay, there got to be some rules. Okay, understandable. But not all the regulations that we have to go off right now.
Well, that's what
There's
I'm
so
saying. Instead of putting all the regulations
on us,
let's start checking into some of the other things that makes this clock tick, other than just the trucks and the drivers in them. Check brokers, you know, the dispatchers, brokers, you know, just like Ed said last night, these e-logs. These companies got the ability to change them e-logs and do anything that they want to them in that office. So if you go out there and run over hours and they want that load to be somewhere and you tell them, no, I can't, I'm out of hours, they can fire your ass if you say, no, I was out of hours. All they can do is go in there and change it. And no, he wasn't. We fired him legitimately. He had time. He just wouldn't work. They can change it. They can do anything to that e-log they want to do. If they say no, they can't,
then,
bullshit.
And then,
they can't.
Okay, now going back to the e-log, now – majority of everyone has, you know, if they have a wife or, you know, family member or whatever, that have the tracker on your phone. I have it. I know you guys have it.
Right.
You can actually go back on that and have an argument on any versus if you're on an e-log versus that app. That app says I was moving 10 and a half hours today. Now you're saying I got 5 hours I can still drive? No. Try again. And you can win a battle.
I pretty much run legal anymore. I mean, for the most part, I don't. Tim can tell you.
That's not what you were telling me earlier tonight.
All right.
When I was talking to you.
Well, now here's the deal. Everybody, these guys out here that's on paper logs that says, well, I'm on paper logs because they ain't tracking my ass and they ain't control when I drive lane. Well, that's where you're wrong. If you got a cell phone with you, you got a tracker. You got an e-log. Because anything bad happens, an accident, God forbid there be a fatality accident or you get into serious trouble, they go back and pull that cell phone record, and you say, oh, no, I was sleeping over here, and that phone shows you in 3 states away. Guess what? You got a tracker.
Yeah, guys,
they know exactly where you're at.
Yeah, you can stretch it, you know, a couple hours here, a couple hours there, maybe, you know. But okay, now cell phone, yeah, it could track you. Now you got a credit card.
Damn right.
You're getting fuel, man. That's time stamped. What about the guys that run prepass, that run the tolls, scale houses?
I'm waiting for that to come around with the DOT, with these guys with paper logs and stuff. When they get a DOT check, say, well, you know, they look at the logbook and say, okay, well, you fueled up in, say, Columbus, Ohio at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Let me see your cell phone. They can go in that cell phone and pull back records and see, well, hey, at 5 o'clock, your phone pinged you out in Indianapolis. How did you do that? You're busted.
Yep.
You're busted.
Yeah, you could, tell that you took a 10-hour break, but actually you only took a 9-hour break or an 8-hour break or something like that. But if you get fuel that day or you cross the border that day, you're pretty much screwed.
You ever have a major problem in a truck and you're on paper logs, best thing you can do is take that cell phone and pull Hillary Clinton on that son of a bitch and take a hammer and smash your shit out of it and throw it out in the weeds. Just destroy it before anybody gets there and get rid of it. Say, I don't have a phone. Because I guarantee you, if they get a hold of it or find out who your cell provider was, you got problems.
Yep.
Because that's going to come back to bite you in the ass. Now, anybody disagrees with me, prove me wrong. I've had it happen. Little fender bender here in Chicago. Woman cut the corner on me. Passed me on the right side, cut the corner on me. Some young girl up J Street in Gary. I had two 50s on the damn truck. I had a 50,000 on the front, a 50 on the back of that damn truck. I don't, when I was working for another company. I just dropped the back one off up in Chicago, and I was on my way to Gary, and I was a half a block from where I had to deliver it. I went to make the right-hand turn to go down to pull in their driveway, and this girl at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning cut across the corner of the sidewalk on my right side, and I caught her with the lead axle on the spread, smashed the whole back of her car off, 3 o'clock in the morning. The company bought that car for her, even though it was her fault, she went up over the corner. Not because they got me for the weight, because I only had one coil on. Yeah, it was a 50,000-pound coil, but they better be glad, she better be glad, that damn coil was on the nose of that trailer up here by the back of the cab and not on the back, or she'd have been dead. But, that being said, the first thing that happened when that accident happened, when it went to court, her attorneys took it to court and sued the company. The first thing they wanted that day when that cop got there, he wanted my driver's license, registration, logbook. He looked at that. That was all straight. Then when it went to court, they subpoenaed my cell phone records. Because they subpoenaed my cell phone records to see if I was on the cell phone, talking or texting on the phone at the time that accident happened. I wasn't. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I had nobody to talk to. I wasn't sleeping. I was working. The only call that was made on my phone that night was after the accident. I called Karen Camp, one of the owners of the company. Her and her husband owned the company. I called Karen at 4 o'clock in the morning and told her what happened. That's the only call that was made on my phone. That's all they found. So it cleared me because I was right. But they still went ahead and paid that accident off to keep it out of court. Yep. And I argued with them over that. I wanted to get my own attorney to fight it. No, just let it go, let it go. So they did. They paid it off. They paid her ass off. And I got the points from that son of a bitch, and I kept them points for like 6 years trying to get them points off my license. That's why I don't speed now, very rare, and I don't get excited. I just drive. I don't. Because it ain't worth it. I try to keep. I got a clean driver's record, picture perfect clean, and I'd like to keep it that way. Because you keep a good driving record, a clean driving record, you go anywhere and go to work. Everywhere that I go fill out an application, they don't even question my driver's record because there's nothing on it, nothing.
I always tell them, Well, when I came over to Admiral Merchants, is who I'm with, they wanted to, we're going to pull your driving record. I go, well, that's a waste of time and a waste of money.
Right.
They're like, why? I go, because it's clean. There's nothing on it.
Yeah. There's nothing there. There's no there. There's nothing to see here.
But if you want to waste the money, go right ahead. Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's protocol. They have to do it, but yeah,
I understand
neither
that.
Here nor there. But you know, it's like, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Take some of us older ones that you know, they want to pick at all the time, and they want to go out here and start pulling these guys MBRs. Lower the point system down. Lower the point system down.
Yeah,
you
so
know,
they revoke
you,
the
you,
license.
Yeah. You get two tickets in a year. The first one, okay, we'll let it slide. The second one you get, 6 months of no driving a commercial vehicle. you know, 6 months or a year. I say
but,
a year.
But there's people out here that are driving on no license.
It'll break their ass. You lower that point system. They start getting in trouble. You have an accident, you know, a chargeable accident that's your fault. You know, now I'm talking about a serious accident. I'm not talking about a fender bender. But, you know, like you put one out in the weeds, in the grass, you know, and upset it or something, should be automatically at least a year. You know, that you can't drive a commercial vehicle. Then you should have to go out and be retested or retrained before you can get back in one. There's no reason.
You know,
there's no reason for these guys to be wrecking trucks on dry, on perfectly dry, straight pavement, sunny day. There's no reason to be running rolling trucks over. Unless something breaks on that damn truck and causes that accident, there is no reason to roll a truck over on straight, dry pavement.
You know, I just saw they had a picture of it. It was one of the loops around Phoenix. And then there was a serious accident. They had the highway shut down. Well, it's four lanes wide. Well, if you're not doing 80 to 90 miles an hour on these loops that are 65 in Phoenix, you're getting your butt run over.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
there should be a speed limit out here over 70 mile an hour for a truck.
No, 75.
I think
70 mile an hour is plenty fast.
I think 60, 65 is plenty fast enough in a truck. Really, I do. You don't need to be running 70 mile an hour in a damn truck. Me and Jeff's had that argument on the show numerous times. These tires are only speed rated for like 70, 75 mile
75.
An hour tops. So why in the hell should you press, you know, the speed rating on them tires? Now, there's something else people don't realize, these guys. If you go out and you have an accident, all right, you have an accident, and they determine that, you know, 70 mile an hour, 75 mile an hour, you was speeding, running 80 mile an hour in a truck, and you have an accident, and they can determine that, hey, you was speeding, you was overrunning the rating on them tires. So now they can blame you for it, and you can go to, you probably end up jail or prison for it.
Yeah, for reckless
off. Because stuff. Reckless off, because yes. Yeah, they don't realize that. You're running 70, 75, you're 75, 80 mile, 80, 85 mile an hour, and you blow a tire, and you kill somebody, or you have a lot of property damage, and they go back and check, and I say, well, that tire, all they have to do is plug into the ECM. They can tell you exactly how fast that truck was running and how fast, what time it was doing it.
Yep.
So guess whose fault?
Yeah.
Guess who's at fault?
Back to my little stint of running recaps. I'll throw it out there. That way you don't have to worry about plugging anything in. When I blew those three tires, they were on the back axle. Yes, they done damage to my trailer. Okay, you win and lose. That's how you learn not to run them again. I'll get that out there.
Right.
I was so lucky that there was nobody behind me or nobody next to me that I threw a windshield and killed somebody or made them wreck or something. I was all by my lonesome when those tires went.
Right.
Especially when my trailer, because two of them, I didn't have no bumper. It went somewhere. I don't know. I couldn't find it. I don't know where it went. But that's a chunk of aluminum that could have decapitated somebody. And
right.
I'm glad it never hit anybody. I was lucky.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point, Robbie. They don't think about the consequences until it's too late. They don't think about the consequences until it's too late. And then after it happens, all they want to do is, oh, woe is me. Poor me. You know, hey, you did it to yourself. Think before you do it. you know, 8:30. It's 8:30 out here, and this truck stop is slam-packed full.
Now, there's still more spots over here. It's only 7:30 here, and it's not jam-packed full yet.
It is jam-packed full.
The sun went down 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago.
You know, right here,
there's
a parking spot right here that's marked, and they are so in it, and I don't see a reserve sign, and my ass is in it until they tell me to move. I'm sure it's probably reserved. I come out here and tell me it's reserved. I'm going to say damn right it's reserved for me.
There was this guy, a guy backed in next to me. There was a guy here when I pulled in, and he left. Now there's an open spot. This guy that parked next to me, he was coming down this way, and he saw it. He got out his flashlight, was probably right next to his door or in his door or right next somewhere in his passenger seat. He was shining his light on the ground to see if it was reserved. Then he went up to back into it. Because he's probably one of those guys that don't like to pay for reserve parking. He's not going to park somewhere where you have to pay.
Right.
And he's probably on an e-log, so, I can't move my truck if I'm on my brake. I'm going to go on a drive line. But it all depends on what e-log you have. Some of them, you do the e-log crawl, do 3 mile an hour in the parking lot. You can still move the truck.
E-log crawl.
Yeah, the e-log crawl. See, I'm just throwing them all out there before you. I haven't had a chance to do anything tonight.
Yeah, but you ain't said nothing about the turban Suburbans.
Oh,
that's
I wasn't going to bring that up yet.
Don't forget about the turban Suburbans.
Yeah, turban Suburbans. You know, just look at that wreck up in Washington. 12
yeah,
trucks.
I pulled that article up, too.
18 cars piled up, all piled up. Back to having a CD on. I've ran in a couple times. What do you need a CB for? That's outdated.
Huh.
Oh, no, it's not.
That's why there's so many wrecks.
Yeah, the article reads like this. It says the Washington State Patrol says a busy interstate will be closed for most of the day Wednesday following a major pileup crash. The pileup occurred during freezing fog conditions around 5:30 a.m. on December 7th on the eastbound I-90 at mile marker 115 near Kittatas, Washington. WSP has confirmed that the pileup involved 18 passenger vehicles and 12 semi-trucks. Local outlet Fox 13 News reported that the semi-truck driver was taken to a hospital for treatment of injuries, and at least two other people were hurt in the crash. A pileup resulted in the spillage of the truck's load of apples. And that's all it says.
Mm. They don't have much information on it, but I did see something on there that it was because of dense fog and ice. Which where 115 is, I think that's up on up on top of the Snoqualmie Pass. So it's on one of the mountain passes up there. Which Greg wouldn't know what that is because he's never gone that far. That's too far.
Oh, the hell you say. The hell you say, Bubba.
You say on the east side of the
I was out there when you were still shitting in your diaper, buddy.
Probably. Yeah, because you've been driving for
Snoqualmie.
Dirt was created.
Donner. Cabbage. Which one you want to talk about, Robbie? Come on, let's go.
I've been on them all, too, so.
All I got to say is I have not, so.
You're not missing
You don't
much.
Want to. You ain't, that's what I was getting ready to say. You ain't missed a damn thing, too. Don't feel bad because you ain't never been out there. I know you always said you'd like
right
to go out there one time just to see what it's like, but trust me.
No,
you
want to
go out there? Go out there. go out there on vacation or something and don't do it in the winter.
No. No, I've been across cabbage when it's been about an inch of ice on the ground and snowing.
Fourth of July,
snowing.
Yep, 4th of July, Pat. Oh, man, that's bad.
Donner's
bad,
when it's snowing. I've been up on Donner's when in the middle of summer. Oh, man, that's pretty driving in July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's nice running in July. Now, come January, February, December, no, not so much.
Yeah,
no, I'll pass.
Look at it. I think we replaced the window in his truck because he's down there, what was that, Virginia? And he ran off the road, slammed into a rock sticking out the side of the hill and busted his window out of his sleeper. Did you help us change that year?
No, I wasn't there that year.
I think that
was Rob.
The 2 years that I was gone, I wasn't able to make the show because of the family arrangements. I missed the two good years of shows.
Yeah.
I think the last year that we had the tent down there, what was that, 18? Was the best year that we had, or the only good year that we're going to have down at that show.
Yeah, that was the last year before the, wait, no. No, 19.
Was it 18?
19.
Was it 19?
Yeah, because we were getting ready for the show in 20 and in 21, and they were both canceled. Because 19 was when we had the step deck and all that stuff out front.
Yep. And then Toby went and shitted it all up.
18 was the snow year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that year.
Mm-hmm.
It snowed on us, it rained on us, and a hurricane came through there.
Yep.
All in 3 days.
Like I said, and then Toby shitted it all up.
Exactly.
Actually, I take that back. It snowed, it rained, and it was sunny one day that year when we were parked on the other direction.
Yeah.
And then the last year we were there, we had a hurricane go through there.
Yep.
Which I thought it was kind of funny. Our tent stayed up, and Tony Justice's tent blew down.
That was 19.
You know why? When them tents all blew down, Robbie, and ours stood up, it was funny. That was our demise there, because that's when they screwed with us. That was the last good show. Because we embarrassed them.
Yep.
We embarrassed the whole damn bunch of them. Because here they are throwing big money out, renting these big tents and these big entertainers, and their crap all blowed down. The show went on at our place, and it embarrassed them. And it pissed him off, and that's when he said, well, we'll just shut them down. They won't have another one.
Yeah, because we got smart. You got a bunch of truck drivers tying down a tent, a bunch of flatbedders.
Yep.
You really had to have something really bad come through there. I mean, like a tornado to lift up two trucks.
Three, if you count the one tied down in front of them.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
I
don't know, but that year it blowed everything down. I thought it was going to take the trucks.
Oh, man, I thought Greg was going to. That year that we had that guy, I was standing near Greg when, I can't remember, I think it was you, Tiff, that you told that someone tied down to the, someone parked in front of the tent, and I thought Greg was going to go postal. But then we calmed him down a minute and told him what he was doing. Then he was all good with it. Just that look on Greg's face. I'm going to go
well,
postal.
Because every time you turn around, somebody was always doing something stupid like that, though, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. The whole truck show, it was good while it lasted. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm over it. That one out there No haul. That's a good little show.
Yeah.
That is a good little show out there.
Yeah. I got to pull because I can tell you the dates for the next one. Did I get it to come up? Wait a minute, this must not be. Oh, that's not it.
They might not have their dates up yet.
No, they do. I did, when I put it in on Facebook, came up with something else, and it wasn't.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't what we wanted. There we go. I think this is it. No, that's still the wrong thing. Yeah, it's.
Man, those sandwiches can taste so good. Yeah, I didn't know a sandwich could taste so good, man. Them cocoa weeds didn't hold off too good this morning.
I bet.
Well, okay, I've had some more cocoa weeds this morning.
Yeah, I'm about ready for dinner myself.
Well, I'm doing now.
See,
I'm not like
food.
You. I can multitask.
Yeah, next, you know, for 2023, their dates are September 22nd, 23rd, 24th.
September? No.
22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
And I'm telling you now, you're not coming out until I get my check from Penny.
Why?
Until I get my
no,
I get my
child
support check from Penny, you're not
going. Last time I was there, you have to keep me. So there's your answer.
Like I told her, it'd be cheaper to send you home.
See?
I send her a check to send you home. It'd be cheaper.
No, it won't.
I think next time you need to go to Ed's for a week.
Oh, no. There's not enough room in that apartment.
Well, it should be because he ain't never there.
I ain't riding on the back of his bike.
He's got a truck.
That don't look good. Two dudes on a bike?
No. I said there should be all kind of room in his apartment because he ain't never there.
That's true.
He can take the bike. You can take his pickup and go out catting.
Nope. Well, yeah, I'll be in air conditioning. He won't.
Yeah, go down there to the beach. Go four-wheeling in his pickup.
Well, go get that thing stuck in the sand.
And tide come in, take it right on out in the Gulf.
Oh.
All right. Well, you almost made 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always set it up for 2 hours, so we're just 15 minutes shy of it. And it's only been the three of us.
Yep.
Imagine that.
Of course.
Hey, no one else wants to call in no more. You might as well just turn the show off.
That's what I said.
Unless you want to rename it to the Greg and Robbie Show.
There's nothing
it
wrong with that.
What, February, March?
March.
Then there ain't going to be no more. Call it in, to hell with it. Too busy shining and putting lights on her truck and shining and polishing on her truck. And Kelly's in love now, so they ain't got time, so hell with them. Kelly's in love. Ed's in love. Or lust. I don't know which. Could be a little bit of both.
What the hell did I do? Sorry.
I don't know. You're playing music over there.
No,
having
I was
a party without us.
I was on the, the Truckers for Hope Facebook page. And next thing you know, it came to a video. I was scrolling through there, and it was like, yeah, okay. Woo! I was loud. But, yeah.
All right. Well, that covers everything. I think we solved all the world's problems for a little bit.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so.
I'm gonna finish my dinner.
I'm gonna go inside and eat dinner at this iron skillet and see how crappy it is.
Yeah.
Probably better than IHOP.
I don't think that's what I do, Paris. I don't think they got a restaurant anymore. They probably got fast food in there. I don't know. I didn't even pay attention. Don't care.
Weatherford, no, they still have an iron skillet, I think.
No, I'm talking about that one here in New Paris, Ohio.
Oh, New Paris?
Yeah. Hell, you was out here not too long ago. You sat out here for a couple days.
What, New Paris?
I think it was you. Yeah, somebody was.
Not New Paris. Not me.
I don't know. Maybe it was Donnie.
If I made it that close to... I stayed
the night
there.
That close. You'd been at the house.
Yeah. I'd be having me a lasagna. I'd be having me a lasagna. And then the next morning, biscuits and gravy.
Uh-huh.
I stayed the night there once. Then I went to your house.
TV on, it's a quicker time. I don't even want to do that.
I have a method to my madness when I come into Ohio.
I got 9, almost 10 miles to go. I'm just debating on where to go down there and try to find a place to park or just say hell with it and sit here.
Already parked, right?
Well,
it's 3 hours to your house from anywhere in Ohio, so might as well just go. Keep on the trucking.
It's 3 hours to my house from anywhere in Ohio, so you might as well keep on trucking, though.
That's right.
Well, damn it, boy.
So from Toledo or Perrysville? It's 3 hours to your house. Columbus, it's about 3 hours.
Yep.
You know, give or take a couple.
Imagine
you're
going to
lock the doors, aren't you?
Well, me?
Yeah. We're not home. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not there. You're going to Ohio?
Yeah,
I'm going to make sure I'm going to be gone.
No, we only do that to Jeff.
Oh.
Tried to get Jim to call in tonight, but he didn't do it. And then when I called in, I thought about calling him and getting him on a conference call and bringing him in, whether he knew it or not, but I didn't.
See, I could have just easily just picked him up or dialed him in and called him.
Yep.
That'd probably be your best bet.
He was down there on 13. He was headed down to... down there by Chesapeake somewhere.
Huh.
At Virginia Beach, down in there. He likes that abuse out there for some reason. I don't know. That's his comfort zone out there. Let him have at it.
Right.
It'd be a cold day in hell when I begged to go out there.
To where?
She's pushing her. Out to down to Virginia Beach and Chesapeake and down in there. My buddy Jim, he runs all that shit out there for Zenith.
No.
That's all that venture he's got. That's all he thinks about, that East Coast. Oh, shit. No, not me.
No, I'll pass. That 95 corridor, nope.
Marie's pressing her luck. She's pushing her limits on Lancaster for me.
I'm surprised you're going over
to Lancaster. Oh, shit, I'll go over to Lancaster. Harrisburg, Lancaster, State College. I'll go everywhere. I won't go to Philly. I'll go to Stroudsburg. I won't go to Allentown, Philly. Nah, bullshit. I ain't got big enough
you
truck
need to go over there
run around the mountains.
I guess.
I ain't got big enough truck to go out there running the mountains with them big dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, the big trucks run out there. I ain't shit. I just got a little baby.
Mm-hmm. Your story. Tell it however you want.
The damn battery, the damn thing don't start next time I get ready to go to work. I'm going to get the cutting torches come out across the lot. I bet you it'll start.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, your pickup will start and watch it light on fire and call the insurance company.
Shit.
The truck got on fire.
I'll light this thing on fire. I'm pulling it over beside a utility. I'm going to park a Dodge pickup beside it.
No, don't put that Dodge pickup next to it.
Get rid of that thing. I'll get a 4500 or 5500 to replace it.
Yeah.
6.7 with an engine brake.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to get off here. Got 5 minutes left. We might as well shut it down.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to go
Me
eat some
too.
Dinner, go grab a shower, and play with my clicker time.
Yeah. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. If I'll talk to you here in a bit.
Okay.
All right, be all careful.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that now brings us down to the last few minutes of the show. And as you see, as always, on any one of our...
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandI's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.